We go back to 1 Samuel, and we could spend months on these people talking about them. I'm going to try to keep this in the context, as it's written in Hebrews, of the faith of these men and women. Most of these people have been great people of renown, people who fought battles, people who did miraculous, outstanding things. And as we get into Samuel, I want you to notice that even though Samuel is mentioned here, and the last one mentioned here, you don't see him leading God's people into the promised land. You don't see him sitting upon a throne. You don't see him doing the things that some of these other people had done that God used to glorify himself, his son, Christ Jesus. But you see a man who fought many of the same battles that we as God's people fight in the world today. You can turn to these other people, Moses, David, Abraham, the ones we've gone through so far, these several months we've been in the book, chapter 11 of Hebrews, and see wondrous things. When you start to read Samuel, there's really very little said about the man. God does not leave anything out. We turn to 1 Samuel, and we find in chapter 1, as speaking about faith and dealing with Samuel, not just Samuel's faith. I heard Sarah Bradley preach a sermon on Mother's Day many years ago. Very loving, heartwarming message, giving honor to the women of God. And he spoke from 1 Samuel on Hannah. Now, I'm not here to talk about Hannah. I'm talking about faith that God gives us in the glory of Jesus Christ. But if we're going to talk about faith while we're talking about Samuel, then we must surely begin with his mother, Hannah. She was married to Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. I get that confused with Eli's son sometimes when I speak with my tongue. Peninnah had children. Hannah was barren. We see many times in Scripture, and I'm going to bring this up speaking of faith, where God, women of God are barren, and God grants them seed. That reveals to us that God is the giver of life. We've got to have faith in that. We have loved ones that have died. We have loved ones that are dying now. Sick, afflicted. We've got to know, and God gives us this faith through revelation of Jesus Christ, that he is the giver of life. Hannah prays in her prayer in chapter 2 that he killeth and maketh alive. God is sovereign and God is the giver of life. Phinehas, when they would go up to worship, would torment Hannah because she had no child. And Hannah prayed to God for a child. She believed that God, there was a man there named Eli who was the priest. Scripture records he was a big man, and that's important, because when he fell backwards, he broke his neck because he was such a big man. And we'll get to that in a minute if the Lord keeps my thoughts that way. But it's important to know in verse 3 that Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priest of the Lord, were there. That's mentioned early in the chapter, because it plays a great part in realizing what Samuel was dealing with the entire time, because the sons of Eli, the scripture says, knew not the Lord. That tells me they were not children of God, but they were there serving in the temple. We see that today. Many who are wolves in sheep's clothing, who seek fame, fortune, money, whatever the case may be, that know not God. Now, Samuel would be a prophet of God, a seer. He was there to give the word of God. And he's having to deal with these men and their false teachings, just as every child of God does in the world. And he did that by faith. He's mentioned in the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11. So remember that. They would lay with the women that came to the altar to sacrifice unto the God of glory as was prescribed under the law of service. They would take more than what was due them by the law that God gave Moses from the sacrifice. They would take the better part, the fat of the offering, which was, as you know, given to God. The best was for God. The priest would take what was left in the amount given by law. And they would take the best. That's no different than how we live today. It takes faith to live in this world. The brethren, Paul is writing to our Jewish brethren in Hebrews. They're dealing with those in the law service who justified themselves by being the seed of Abraham and worshiping and keeping the law of Moses, unable to see or know, because let's be quite frank, God had not given them revelation. God had not given them understanding, therefore they were unable to see that they fell so very short of what would be required under the law. Samuel was born of Hannah, who prayed for a son, and Eli told her, the priest, the father of these two men, that she would have a son. She by faith, she, let that sink in. Some of you old hard-headed men I grew up listening to, and God bless them, I loved them. I still love them. They stood as a pillar in the church of God. But I've heard people say a church is not a church when it ceases to have a male member. I disagree with that. How many women of faith do we see in the world? I've said this to you before. My grandmother brought me to church here, and I full well believe her dedication to God and her influence in my life and bringing me here has at least helped to keep me here. A woman and her faith, which is a gift from God. She told Eli that she would bring the child to God and that he would abide there in the temple and that he would be in service to God his entire life. Chapter 2 is her prayer. Hannah brought forth a son. When they went to worship, you understand this. You understand this. The most important thing we do is worship God. We are created to worship God. In spite of what people would tell you, we're not here to preach the gospel that men might be saved to heaven and immortal glory. We are saved to heaven and immortal glory for the purpose of worshiping the Christ of God. That is our purpose. And while we live in this world, there is absolutely nothing more important than that. But you find when this child was born, until the time it was weaned, that Hannah did not go up with her husband to offer sacrifice. Because Hannah was a mother who loved her child. And God blessed her in that. Scripture says, can a mother forget her sucking child, a newborn? We would think not. But if we look around this Christian so-called nation that we live in, we see quite the contrary. God bless and thank God for godly women. Now, we find in chapter 3 regarding Samuel, verse 1, the child, catch that, child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. This is a child. They talk about King Tut, was that the boy king's name that was in Egypt, and of a child he was king, and all these big things they want you to hear and learn to glorify the flesh of man and Tut and Egypt, and that's all that represents is sin and death. Egypt, I mean. You don't hear much about Samuel. He was a child. And he served the Lord as a child. John the Baptist was born of the Spirit in the womb of his mother. There was no preacher to save him, to give him the gospel in order that he might have eternal life. He had eternal life in the womb before he ever came forth, because he leapt for joy when his mother Elizabeth met Mary, who had conceived and was carrying of the Holy Spirit, was carrying the Christ child. The child, Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. See if this doesn't sound like today. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There was no prophet other than Samuel. There was no open vision. I believe Zechariah, maybe Zephaniah. I apologize for not knowing that for sure at this point in time. I didn't know I was going to use it. But the scripture says that when there is no vision, the people perish. That means when there is no seer, when there is no prophet, when there is no word of God being given. This is the Old Testament. The people perish because we're sinners. We're flesh and blood. We need to hear the word of God. We need to hear the surety of God. We need to hear and preach in this day and time the word of faith, which we preach, if we preach truth, by inspiration of God. When God prophesied, I believe Amos 8, of the days that would come of Christ, the times were such that men ran here and there, to and fro, seeking the word of God, but could not find it. Turn on the TV today. Turn on the radio today. Listen to the lies and blasphemies that you see and you hear as legitimate, born again children of God. Seek to hear the words of the Lord, and it cannot be found. There are many reasons for that, and it all lays on us. We don't teach our children at home, being first and foremost responsibility. You can see the effects of that, and it takes faith to live in this time. That's what I'm trying to bring forth to you. This was the same type of situation in the days of Samuel. There was not a seer. There was not one who could tell God's people the word and the purpose of God. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God would send them that through Samuel. I'm going to move quickly to try to finish this chapter. Give you some history of Samuel. He was the last of the judges, for God's people sought a king. There is a difference in a prophet and a king. Samuel was a prophet and a priest, for he made sacrifice, and a judge, the last of the judges. Some people say he was the first of the prophets, but I disagree with that. Because we find them even back in the days of Noah, for Noah himself was a preacher of righteousness, and that is a prophet in one sense. But he also made sacrifice. He anointed Saul, king of Israel. It displeased him. They wanted a king, and God plainly told him, let them have what they desire. It's not you they're rejecting, Samuel. It's me they're rejecting as being king over them. And he gave them a king. He let them have the desire of their own heart, and he gave them a king. And Scripture truly proves how bad that was to them. What a great tragedy it was that they were suffered. A great pain it was that they were suffered to have their own desires. We're the same way today. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us from the desires of our own heart. But Saul disobeyed God. Samuel removed him as king. And we saw last week David was anointed. And we find at the report of Samuel's death, and Samuel died. Doesn't say how. It's not important. The important thing given in Hebrews chapter 11, and Samuel being the last one called by name in this chapter of faith, is that Samuel, being a child of God, called for the purpose of God, who made sacrifice for God's people, who judged God's people, who gave the word of the Lord to God's people, and all that he stood against, the sons of Eli, oh yes, who both died in battle. That's when Eli fell backwards and broke his neck because he was a heavy man, a great man, a fat man, I dare say. All these things Samuel did in faith, for the purpose of God, by instruction of God. Every word Samuel gave them going into battle or avoiding battle. And sometimes, many times, the best thing to do is to avoid that battle. Pick your fights. Was done by faith. Was done by faith. We have the same situation today. And the days in which we live. We live in a land and a world of darkness, surrounded by darkness, the forces of darkness upon our families, which is just practically destroyed in the last 80, 100 years by the forces of darkness in this country and the attack on the family. Children being afflicted, mistreated, attacked spiritually. That can be proven. It takes faith. It takes the knowledge of God. Remember what eternal life is? The knowledge of God, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Paul is encouraging these brethren to walk in faith. He says, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Let's look to the prophets. Let's see every man that God called to go to his people. You want to talk about faith? Let's look at Jeremiah. Have you read the book of Jeremiah? Jeremiah went to a people of God, preaching unto them the glory of God, preaching unto them the Savior that would come, preaching unto them because of their evil works they were in this condition they were in and were in bondage. Didn't have a single person convert. Brethren, that takes faith. God gives faith. Faith is for our benefit, okay? We're justified before God in our minds by the faith that God gives us. You are saved in the blood of Christ. That's your justification. Faith is a gift to you in the birth of the Spirit that you might know and understand and have an assurance of what the Scripture calls the sure mercies of David, that God delivers His people. Jeremiah had not even one convert. We look around the shape of the world today. You talk to ministers today in this day and age, the numbers of the church falling, churches closing doors. It is a sad situation. Although from time to time we have refreshing from the Lord and we have someone added such as should be saved, Jeremiah had none, but he walked by faith. We see Isaiah, Scripture records his afflictions. He was made to walk naked for 3 years. I think to express, to show, to manifest that we were naked before our God, that we had no covering for our sin, that we were unjust. Faith, the prophets, much could be said there. Who, here's the point, all these people that suffered, all these people that never had the promises fulfilled in their life, knowing that these days would come, Abraham sought a better kingdom. Moses sought the kingdom. All these men and women who through faith subdued kingdoms, every one forward, we see Abraham in the valley of the king, the slaughter of the kings. When Melchizedek, there's a victory. We see Moses driving out, God driving out the inhabitants of the land with Moses to give the land to his people. We see David, we see Solomon conquering nations around them. They subdued kingdoms walking in the full knowledge of God, that God was with them, that God carried them, that God sent them. This was not for us nor for our glory. They didn't fear the giants of the land. You see what God did with Israel and the glory of Pharaoh. It was all about the glory of God. Through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Let's take this by context. They didn't bring righteousness by walking around being little flower children holding hands and saying peace and love and singing kumbaya. The world is love. The world is evil. They wrought righteousness by defeating the enemy, whether it was fighting a battle or just being separate from the people of the land in obedience to God. They wrought righteousness because they sought to keep the word of God and live, giving glory and honor unto their God and teaching their sons and their sons' sons diligently the will and purpose of God. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Abraham promised the promised land. Moses, the promise delivering them from Egypt. Joshua, the promise of entering into the promised land. David, the promise of the kingdom being fulfilled in the promise of Solomon that he would sit upon the throne. Christ being come as a son of David, as an heir of David, sitting upon the throne of Jacob here in this world and in eternal glory. Stopped the mouths of lions. Samson spoke about this recently. Slew that young, strong lion, the jawbone of an ass. Faith in God. We fight Satan, the lion, today. Faith in God. David slew the lion and the bear, recovered the sheep with no harm. And the best of all, in my mind, is Daniel in the lion's den when the Lord shut the lion's mouth. Who did the work? God. Who is our faith in? God. Christ. Obtain promises. Stop the mouths of lions. Your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a lion, roaring lion. Roaring, making all sorts of noise, making all sorts of vicious threats of slaughter and death and destruction, while at the same time tempting you with the bright, shiny things of the world. That's what Lucifer means, bright and shining. Stop the mouths of lions. Quench the violence of fire. I love the text in Daniel when they would not bow down to the gods that Nebuchadnezzar had commanded them to. They were cast into the fire. This fire was so very hot. It was 7 times hotter than any fire, okay? It was so very hot, the men who were taking those 3 Hebrew boys up there to cast them in the fire were consumed by that same very fire before they ever got them to the fire. That's how hot it was. But what does the scripture say? Nebuchadnezzar looked down into that fire to see if those men were consumed. He said, "Lo, I see 4 men." 4. He threw 3 in. "I see 4 men alive and walking. And the 4th, brethren, was none other than the Son of God. Christ Jesus." We'll get into that as we get into chapter 12, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Adam was saved the same way we're saved, by the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb. The last promised heir will be saved the same way we are, and the blood of the Lamb. The one who's mentally afflicted, the one who can't walk, the one that can't stand, the one that's dead in trespass and sins, who belongs to God. We're all saved the same way, by the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb. Christ was there with them in that fire. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword in battle. Do you remember in Gideon, as we preached about him and we talked about them falling on their own sword, the things that were meant to kill the children of God, kill their enemies because God made it do so. It's no different today. It's no different today. Those who do these things to God's children and seek to pervert the gospel, to seek to pervert the truth of Christ, that seek to destroy the institutions of God, the church, and the family, they fall upon their own sword, and that's the hand of God. You can see that happen if you look. Out of weakness we're made strong. Samson was weak. They cut his hair, he was weak. His eyes were put out, he could not see. But he was made strong out of his weakness. You see, brethren, when we walk by faith, when we lean on Christ, the song we sing, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." When we lean on Christ out of our weakness, we're made strong on Christ. waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, every one in the Old Testament. We've talked about thus far in this chapter of faith. We can read about the enemy fleeing from them with Samuel's when they brought the Ark of God into the camp, with Moses, the pillar of fire, the pillar of a cloud, all the things that God used. He used hemorrhoids. He used bees. He used whatsoever he pleased, for God does not need anything, yet he is a God of means. Women received their dead raised to life again. 1 Kings 17. The world is in drought. Everybody's hungry. You want to talk about faith? Because Elijah prayed and it did not rain. Elijah prayed. And we see in chapter 17 where he came to a woman of Zarephath, does not give her name, does not give her son's name. It's not important. What is important is the glory of God and what God does for this woman. Elijah told her to fetch him bread. She said, I don't have any, just a little cruse of oil and a handful of flour. I'm going to put this in my words for the sake of time. You go do what I say. You see here who has the faith. It's Elijah. You do what I say, your food's not going to run out. Your corn's not going to go away. The oil is not going to dry up. And she did, and they prospered many days. And there came a time in verse 17, this woman's son fell sick. And he was sick unto death. This woman, we doubt. We are flesh. We are blood. This woman comes to Elijah. If I see it quick enough, I'll read it. Well, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? She's very, very weak in faith. Yet Elijah, whose faith are we talking about here? Elijah, who is strong in the faith. You know, sometimes we name people names, and it is amazing to me how much they at times remind us of those in Scripture whose name we call them by. I have a grandson by this name. I'm not sure if he smiled 10 times since he was born. He's all serious. He's full of love. But he's serious as a heart attack. He has a lot of faith. He means what is right. He stands for what is right. You can see this in him, and I'm thankful for it, and I pray for him. When you talk good about somebody, you better pray for him. Elijah took the son, took him up, stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and cried unto the Lord our help. And said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. You do see and realize that he was dead. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Brethren, when we pray, God hears our voice. Our prayers ascend in Christ to the Father. When we pray according to God's will, it is answered. Elijah took, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Women through faith received their dead to life. 2 Kings 4. This is not Elijah. This is Elisha. Elisha. To whom Elijah's mantle fell when he was taken up into heaven in horses and chariots of fire when God brought him into glory. Here's a Shunammite woman. She loved the Word of God. She loved it so much. She loved the man of God. She made a place for him to stay. He ran a circuit, if you wish to call it. That a lot of our old preachers back in the older days used to run circuits. You'd have a week here, a week there, different churches, different places, scattered out when transportation and communication was hard. It's no different here. They used to meet, they'd camp in the yard, they'd cook, and they'd meet for the whole weekend. No different. She made a place, prepared a place for him to stay when he's with her, with them. She desired a child. She could have no child. Once again, she was barren. Once again, God delivered. She was so good to Elisha, Elisha wanted to do something for her. And I can relate that to you. I can tell you the ministry is, or at least ought to be, the same way. I love y'all more than I love anybody in the world. You're a closer family than my natural family. The only one I put above y'all is that little woman sitting right over there that's put up with me for 45 years of wedlock and 2 or 3 years before that. But that's not the point. Point is, he wanted to do something for her. She had no child. Her husband was old. He promised her a child. She told him, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." There was no physical way by nature at that point, being married to this older man, for her to have a child. There was no way Sarah could have had a child. They were both past time. Rebecca was barren. God is the giver of life. God speaks, and it is so. God gave her a son. Oh, the story could end there and be very beautiful. Live happily ever after. But we live in a dark, violent world. Death is all around us. The world, the natural man, the forces of darkness, the powers of Satan all around us, hating us, seeking to devour us. This woman's child, when it was grown, verse 18, chapter 4, it fell on a day. He went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said, "My head, my head." His father had him carried to the house. This child died in his mother's arms. What was her response? What did she say? You want to see faith? You want to think about those that have gone before. You want to see the faith that God gives us. You want to see the comfort and the peace that God gives us. What did she say? "It shall be well." Amen. Amen. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. She saddled an ass, said to her servant, "Drive, go forward." She comes to Elisha. "How are things going with you?" She said, "It is well." My goodness. This woman's child died in her arms. It is well. All is well. He perceived the matter. And he went up, lay upon the child, verse 34, put his hand upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. It was day, he was dead, it was cold, but it waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house, to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. They say when you sneeze, that your heart stops. Seven is a number of completeness. By nature, when you sneeze, your heart stops. By the power of God, in these seven sneezes, it was proven this child's heart was beating. Don't tell me what God cannot do. Let me tell you what He can do, whatsoever He pleaseth in heaven and in earth. Women receive their dead to life again. Others were tortured. Jeremiah was stoned, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Being stoned, being beheaded, think about those burned at the stake, which, by the way, was going on at the time Paul was writing this epistle to these Jewish brethren. Of those that were tortured because they were disciples of Christ, because they loved the Lord Christ, because they belonged to the Lord Christ, refusing to accept the temporal deliverance from the wicked by conforming to their thoughts and thinking and ways of living and their pagan, lying, blasphemous doctrines, that they might obtain a better resurrection. When I die, I am with Christ. This is the thinking of one in that situation. When you kill me, the Lord said, fear not him who can kill the body. Fear him who can cast both body and soul in hell. When you kill me, I'm with Christ. There is coming a resurrection. We shall all stand together, every one of the elect of God, every one in my spiritual family, most of whom I do not even know at this point in time. And we shall all stand together with Christ. A better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Daniel, imprisoned in the lion's den. Joseph, imprisoned in the house of Pharaoh by a lie from Pharaoh. One of his women folk, we'll say it that way and leave it there. Imprisoned, yet God delivered both. God delivers us today. While we walk through this world, we're surrounded by darkness. We're imprisoned in this body of sin. When this body is laid down, there will be no more sin. And when this body is raised up, it will be righteous. They were stoned, Jeremiah. They were sawn asunder, Jewish tradition says Isaiah was. Were tempted, Abraham was tempted. Other children, Joseph was tempted. Were slain with the sword, they wandered about, Elijah, Elisha, even John the Baptist. And sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They were hated of the world. They were destitute. They were cast out. They had nothing to call their own as far as possessions. They had to eat the locusts and wild honey and things which they could take with their hands because they were castaways from the world. Thank you, Lord, for separating us from the world. They were destitute. They were afflicted by the world and tormented because they were a child of God walking by faith, of whom the world was not worthy. Why is that there? Because the enemies of God say these people are not worthy to be among us. These people are not worthy to eat our food, to live in our cities, to live in our country. These people are not worthy to be among us. Let us kill them. What does the Bible say? The world is not worthy of these people, these mentioned, who walk by faith. Every child of God, everyone Christ died for. You here today, the world is not worthy, okay, of you and your presence here and Christ in you, the hope of glory. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Lot in a cave, afraid to go down into a city. There's another one delivered, quenching fire. Did Lot do that? Best I remember, the angel of God took him by the hand and led him out. You give that glory to God, for it is always God that saves us, and it is always in Christ. There is no other way. That's what our faith is in, Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. Christ, the express image of his person. Christ, the glory of the living God. Without beginning, without end. I am that I am. Christ. And these all, mentioned before, having obtained a good report through faith, remember, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, you've got to have faith. You just got to reach down and have faith. Let me tell you something. My football coach used to tell us, you've got to reach down. When it gets tough, the tough get going. You've got to reach down. And you've got to pull the inside out. And you've got to be strong. Now that I could do in that sense, because I'm flesh and stiff-necked. I cannot reach down to faith. I have no faith of my own. It is a gift of God. God gives us faith, okay? All these people, God gave them faith. For it is impossible to please him without faith. That is God. He gives us faith. He works that work in us. I want a good report. I want to walk with God. People tell you, and I remember this from my youth, oh, you can have the good things. You can have the best life. You can do this and be peace and prosperity and everything that you want. It's your hands. They draw this picture like you're laying there with some harem dropping grapes in your mouth and all these things. If you'll just do this, that, or the other, that is a lie. When you take your cross, deny yourself, and seek to walk with God, your afflictions are going to grow heavily. We desire to have a good report with God, that Christ would be glorified. God gives us faith that we can walk in this dark, sinful, cursed place with the death of our loved ones, with society crumbling around us, with doors of churches closing while we pray, God, give us refreshing. And all these having attained a good report through faith, speaking of the Old Testament, received not the promise. They saw it afar off. Received not the promise. Now you can lay that to heaven in immortal glory and I'll have it 110%. But let's see what he's talking about. God had, having provided some better, you catch that? Better thing for us. They walked in the law. They were taught the coming of the Messiah. They were taught of the coming grace of God that should come to us, as 1 Peter says, through the sufferings of Christ. They looked for that. Christ had been with them in the world. Somebody said, well, Christ was not yet made flesh. Don't tell me that. He walked with Adam in the garden. He sat with Abraham in the heat of the day in his tent. He stood before Joshua saying, I am the captain of the Lord's host. But what he had not done, what they were looking for, he had not been made incarnate to die upon the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins and redeem us to God. For God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Faith, a gift of God, this is the household of faith. It's not this 150-year-old building. It's you, brethren, the pillars of God, who sit in this church and worship God.